without dispute, our world is in a time of turmoil and uncertainty. A pestilence called the coronavirus has spread across the world, and many are living in fear about what the future may hold. Some believe that this may pass, but if it does, their lives may never be the same again. Trouble is not something that the world has never faced. It is really the story of civilization being fraught with troubles. However, the Word of God has the answers down through the ages and chronicles these things in the words of its pages. And what we notice here is that the answer for trouble in our lives, in our world, is the Lord. He is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. I want to say that this passage of Scripture has meant a great deal to me for many years. At various and sundry times, I have taken great comfort in it. And then there have been other times where I have not been very comforted by it. And I would just simply say, because whenever people would read to me verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God," I wasn't very good at that. And so when I was admonished to be still and to simply let God be God in my life, I often wanted to take things into my own hands, to try to affect a different outcome on a different timetable, rather than knowing that when everything falls apart, that God still has a purpose, God still has a plan through it all, and there's something that He wants for us to know and learn through this time. Think about when I was dating my beautiful wife. Her favorite verse through those days seemed to be Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." And that's the last thing that I wanted to do. It was the first thing that she would often say and the last thing that I wanted to do, because I wanted to move this thing along. I wanted to get to the question. I wanted to be married, and she wanted me to just sit still for a minute, let God be God, to make sure that this was all being ordained of Him. And so at that moment, it wasn't giving me a great deal of comfort. But the reality is that as much as my flesh was militating against that advice, it was still the advice that my heart needed, because that's precisely how the Lord led us together. I want to just simply say that as we consider the time in which we live and a world around us that seems to be in absolute chaos, where thousands of people have died and we are being told that many more will die, many will be infected, it's impacting our economy and it's impacting our way of life. People can't watch a ball game or go to a race or go to a theater. They can't go to a restaurant and sit down and have a meal. And these are all things that are putting people outside of their comfort zones, and it's putting them in their home. In some cases, they're not quite too comfortable with all of those things. And given the current state of our world, all that's going on, we know that in the midst of this peril, there are wars that are being waged today. In the midst of all of this, we know that there are people who are in the fight and the struggle of their life. Who would have imagined that this week in Salt Lake City, an earthquake would strike and affect so many people? And who would imagine the various storms and all of the things that have upset our world in these recent days? Just a month ago, many were feeling pretty good about their portfolios and about their timeline and horizon to a retirement, because the stock market was being very kind to their 401k. And now they're rather uncertain, a little more nervous. And I want to simply say that as we look at this, we notice, first of all, four things I want to share with you. Number one, there is a refuge. There is a refuge. There's a place that we can run to for shelter in the time of storm, shelter in the time of danger and distress. And I think it is important for us to know that the Bible says God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Know this, that the Lord is our refuge and strength. The Lord is our help, not the stock market. Hasn't been very helpful this past couple of weeks, has it? It's not politicians. Many of them are quarantined. Many of them have access to all the things that we would love to have. Some of them protected their finances in anticipation of this, and yours seemed unguarded. And so the answer in these uncertain days is not more money, perhaps. It's not a better politician or more from the politicians. The answer is not to have access to a doctor, though that would be a good thing for some, perhaps. Because, listen, what they can do is tell you, you have this, but they have no cure. You see, in these uncertain times, the answer is not amassing more materially. In fact, many have just tapped the brakes on their spending in expectation that the needs may become greater as the layoffs begin. And there's uncertainty about when the checks would come or if they would come at all from the government. The truth is this, for some, their world is falling apart and they do not know where to run. And the Bible tells us very plainly, run to God. The Lord God is our refuge. God Himself is the shelter from danger and distress. And what we notice here is that in verse 2, the Bible tells us, therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And the word therefore indicates that He is our reason to resist fear. Because God is there. He is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. I want you to know something, folks, that there have been times where I have needed someone and they were not there. How many of you out there in this world today have ever gotten ready to move and you didn't have anybody to help you? I think all of us have maybe been in a moment like that where you're trying to get a sofa up two flights of stairs and you don't have anybody to help. There are those that said, yes, this is my truck, and no, you can't borrow it. And you had a need, but you had no one there to help you with that need. You see, in the time of need, they were absent, but the Bible says He is a present help in trouble. God is here. I know people that have more Facebook friends than God, but when they need help changing a tire or moving into a different apartment, they don't know who they're going to call. The reality is this, that God never forsakes us. God will never abandon us. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And the God that said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, we find a testimony of in just a few verses further there in Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse 8. It says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And so we know that because He's present with us, there is really no reason for us to fear. We can resist the fears because God is there and He's comforting us. He's giving us that which we need in the time of distress. 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse number 7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. I suppose that I have said that in every service since this whole crisis began, but I believe it bears repeating, for we are easily forgetful about these things. I think it's important to see that the Bible tells us that though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, we can find our refuge in God. The troubles of life will roar and try to intimidate and overwhelm you, but God is right here. And I want you to know that the waves know His name, and they know who He is, and they are subject to His voice. And when they roar against us, God knows how to yell back at them. He speaks peace to the storm in our life. And so when everything is falling apart, no, there is a refuge. And my friend, run to Him. Don't run to a pill. Don't run to a bottle. Don't run to the therapist. Run to Jesus, my friend. Don't run to the internet. Run to Jesus. I'm simply saying to you, He is our refuge and our strength, our help in the time of trouble. On Thursday, I went out to see if I could find some food to kind of forage around, scratch with the chickens. And I saw a line at the gun store, people buying guns and ammo. And I saw many other places that were just empty, looked abandoned. And I drove past a marijuana dispensary. And you know, I counted 50 people in line outside of the marijuana dispensary waiting to go in and get their marijuana. And I thought, you know, these people look pretty healthy to me. I don't know that they need all that. But the reality was this, that they were going to be home and they thought, since I'm not at work today, I may as well be home with my medical marijuana. Now, folks, I'm just going to tell you something, that there's a moment in time where people might run to something like that. And might I say this to you, that this is the time for us to run to Jesus. It's a time for us to understand that when the world is crumbling around us, He is our refuge, our strength, our help in a time of trouble. I want you to notice, secondly, not only is there a refuge, but there is a river. The Bible here says in verse number 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. What we understand is this, that this river that we see in this beautiful picture given by the psalmist in this lovely song is really a river of grace that gently nourishes and comforts the storm-tossed believer. God giving us gently and lovingly everything that we need. In contrast to the roar of the waves of the storm, God comes like a gentle flowing river to care for you, to provide for you beside the still waters of grace that He will minister to your heart. And that's precisely what we find. God is in the midst of this river, ministering, loving, caring, giving. Grace is the river, and God is in the midst of her. And what we notice is that it's gentle with us when the world is rough, when the world is abrupt. It's then that we discover what God's Word declares, "My grace is sufficient for thee." His grace will be sufficient. We notice that not only that grace is the river, but gladness is the result of the flow of God's grace into our life. It says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad. And there are many that are wanting to be lifted in their spirit. They're downcast. They're sad because of the turning of their events. They feel homebound. Some people feel singled out because perhaps they have an underlying illness, or they're of a certain age, or perhaps they're unable to go and do the things that they once felt liberated to do. Now they feel incarcerated and confined, and they're downcast in their spirit. And I believe that God wants a river of grace to flow into your heart and into your life that will produce a wellspring of joy and gladness that seems absent from your heart. Because gladness is the result of the flow of God's grace into our lives. Be that saving grace or be that sustaining grace. God gives good gifts in a good way because He's good and He does it all the time. You know, something that I think is beautiful about this is the fact that God is the resident of that place of grace that flows into our lives, and He is always there. He's always there. But here the Bible says that the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Oh, church, today understand that God is in the midst of you. And the Lord will give you that which you need, and He will not be moved away from helping you. He's available to you. And so today, thank God that there is a river of God's grace that's flowing into your life, and He will lead you beside the still waters when the world and its storms will roar at you. I was talking to my wife this week, and she was telling me how stressful it was at work. Many people were dealing with new regulations and new circumstances, and there was frustration by patients and doctors, and it was a stressful time, and for her to come home was kind of like a respite from being on the front line, and it was a time for her to just be still in quietness with those that knew and loved her. And yet, really, God is calling each and every one of us into a moment where the river of grace can lap at our feet, nourish our spirit. And I believe in a time like this, it could perhaps be more helpful than we have ever experienced before in our lives. Notice with me a third beautiful thought, and that is this: not only is there a refuge, and not only is there a river, but I'm happy to tell you today there is a ruler. There is a ruler. The Bible says there in verse number 8, "Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire." The Bible reveals here to us that there is a sovereign Lord over all that has the power to create and to destroy. God has the power to create and to destroy. Now, I know that there are many in this particular time and through times past, whenever trouble or calamity has come to people, they have asked, "Where is God?" or "Why is God doing this?" And might I simply say to you that oftentimes we mistakenly assign responsibility for all that's bad to God. We think, well, if He's such a great God, He could prevent these things from happening. But because mankind rejected Him, He's allowing now what the Bible calls the mystery of iniquity to come into full play. And we understand that the devil is the prince and the power of the air. And he is called in the book of Revelation Apollyon, which means destroyer. And he comes, the Bible says in John 10, to kill and to steal and to destroy. But Jesus has come that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. And so today, understand that there is a devil, and he is real, and he wants to destroy your home, your family. He wants to wreak havoc and devastation upon you. And the Lord in love wants to minister that river of grace. But understand this, that God is a holy God, and He will make all that's wrong right. And if not in this life, in time to come, and we can know this because God is above all a holy God, and our sovereign ruler, the Lord God Jehovah, knew from before the foundation of the world that there would be a coronavirus, knew that there would be earthquakes and pestilence, and there would be infestations of locusts, and there would be a volcanic disturbances, and that there would be wars and rumors of wars, and that there would be infighting and division, and brother against brother, and nation against nation. God knew from before the foundation of the world, but the sovereign God that has the power to create, has the power to destroy. And the reality is, because He is God and we are not, He is not accountable to man. He does not owe us any explanation for all that He in His infinite wisdom chooses to do. And in times like those, we must simply trust that an all-wise God is doing what is best for us. You see, God has the power and the authority, according to this passage, to restore peace, to restore order to the lives that have been ravished. For the Bible says that He maketh wars to cease. You see, He wants to bring about peace. What does He do? He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. The reality is here that God is giving us this beautiful picture that God wants to minister peace into the storm-tossed life. Where there was once chaos and confusion, He has the power and the authority as the sovereign ruler over all, not only to rule in our lives, but to overrule in the circumstances of your life. And so, God will speak peace into your life. He's the ruler. And so, I say this to you, we can trust Him. You see, He's our refuge. We can run to Him. He's in the river of grace that flows to us. We can receive from Him. And He's a ruler that wants to speak peace into your storm-tossed life. You can trust Him. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's got this. God doesn't even have to break sweat. God doesn't have to stress and strain to overcome this. He's got this well in hand. And in His own good way, and in His own good time, He'll speak peace into this situation of your life. Friends, you can trust Him. He's got this. Lastly, I would say, not only is there a refuge, not only is there a river that flows with God's grace, not only is there a ruler that's got this, but thank God there is a rest. There's a rest. The Bible says here that He's going to bring peace in verse 9. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. I want you to understand that God is calling you to rest in Him, to sleep easily in His arms, to rest your head upon His chest and know that He loves you and that He's caring for you and He's working this all out for your good and for His own glory. You see, this shall come to pass, for it declares that He maketh wars to cease. That means it's going to come to an end. And He calls us to be still and know that He is God. As difficult as this whole time has been for us, I can't help but think on many levels, it may be just exactly what we all have needed. Sometimes we get way too busy for God. Sometimes we get way too busy for even our own families. Sometimes we get so caught up in the schedule and the commute and so wrapped up in the budgets and the demands and the practices and the obligations, the commitments, and we're uptight and stressed out and our lives are not lived as God intended, resting in Him and trusting and depending upon Him, but we just get involved in the rat race, and we come home and we just plan to turn on a ball game and to order a pizza and to punch out and not worry about whether or not the delivery man has coronavirus, and you know, not wonder if we're going to pick it up somewhere in a gas pump or something like that. And I believe that God has in some cases ordained for people just to sit still for a minute. There's nothing good on TV. The news will repeat itself over and over and over again. You're not going to miss anything unless you just feel like you have to get it in real time so that you can text all of your friends to tell them what they're going to hear in just a moment anyway. But God wants us to just for a moment sit still and consider this, that He is God. That He's our refuge. That He wants a river of grace flowing into your life. And that He is ruling and overruling in your life. Well, there's not going to be a ball game on. You can maybe watch a rerun of one of the classic games of the past, but you already know how that's going to turn out. It's not really that fun. You can't go out to eat dinner with your family after church, or maybe take a trip to a place that you normally would have gone. You're not sure if you're going to have to go to work on Monday. The kids are sure they won't have to go to school. But why would God let you be in that situation? Maybe to give you the time that you have said all along you don't have to give Him. Maybe for a moment to just get plugged back in to the source of life. Maybe it's just to get plugged back in to your loved ones. And to take a breath. I want you to know that He calls us to be still and know that He is God. And God, who is with us, will be exalted through this. Three times in this passage, which is really a song, it was for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. As I studied this, it indicates that it was for only those whose voice could reach certain octaves and ranges, that had a tonal quality that could bring the closest that man could offer to perfect pitch and harmony into the courtroom of heaven. It wasn't just reserved for anybody to sing as a limerick, but as an anthem unto Almighty God. And three times we notice this word, Selah. And as you study that word, there are different meanings at different places that people render for this, but there is a common understanding, and that is that in the Hebrew custom, particularly in the Psalms and in the book of Habakkuk, where these appear, it talks about something in music. It is a musical rest, where you come to a point in the music where you pause and you breathe. And three times we are called here to pause. Selah. Rest. God has this. Rest in Him. The earth is filled with unrest. But God will give His beloved rest. There is a refuge. You can run to Him. There is a river. You can receive from it the flow of God's grace into your life. There is a ruler. You can trust Him. He loves you, and He's working everything for your good. There is a rest. You can quite simply rest your head upon His chest. And breathe. He has this. And I want to just simply say, He doesn't just have this. He has all of our tomorrows. Friend, words could never adequately express how much God loves you. And so God came down to this earth and to show you how much He loves you. He went to the cross of Calvary. And when it seemed like everything was falling apart on Golgotha's hill, the earth was trembling and shaking, the sky turned dark, justice lay dead in the street, Jesus conquered the hill of Calvary for you to simply forgive you of all of your sin so that you, by trusting in what He did for you there at Calvary, might have life. And when He died, He said, "It is finished." He did everything necessary to give you life, to give you eternal life in heaven with Him. For you see, Jesus died on that cross. He was buried, laid in a borrowed tomb, and after 3 days, He came up out of that grave to prove that He is God, the very God. And I want you to understand that though it seemed like to Mary and to John and the women that were gathered there that day that the world was falling apart, God had a greater purpose to manifest His love and grace to all mankind. When your world is falling apart, run to Jesus. He's the refuge. When your world is falling apart, come to the river. He'll minister grace to you there. When your world is falling apart, trust a sovereign God. He's the ruler and the one that overrules. When your world is falling apart, rest in God. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's God.